Hello, citizens. This is Deadbug. Friend. Lover. Father. Father of many, actually. And some of them are from those godless third world countries. And I gotta support them all. Well, not the ones from the godless third world countries, because, you know, their cords can't touch me. But nevertheless, the other ones, I gotta divvy up some money sometimes. And you can help me. Sign up to my Patreon, where you get hundreds of my podcasts and three times as many of my films. And you won't be disappointed.
No siree, Bob.
And I'll also send you intimate photos when I'm drunk. So what are you waiting for? I'll see yous all over there. God bless each and every one of yous. Well, except for yous from those godless nations, which I won't mention. But your money is still good. Oh, and remember, with each 100th sign up, I'm going to buy one of my kids a pack of smokes and maybe even get him vaccinated. I thank you.
It is my humble duty tonight to introduce you.
Deadbug says, they're so fucking crazy.
Hey, that fella's talking about me.
I'm not agreeing with everything that comes out of his mouth.
A basic rule for survival against hostile fire.
The fact is, his balls are fucking huge.
Does this excite you? Think about it.
He don't give a fuck what he's saying.
I do not claim any healing power.
His whole shit is edited so well together.
Think of one of these balloons as your head.
And he always tells the gruesome details of a murder. Go to Deadbug Says.
Well, hey, kids. Welcome to my house. Come on in.
Some say the door to heaven is...
the fuck?
Faithful are going to do his work.
They're so fucking crazy.
Well, I think he's a racist.
I've seen so many other channels that are so much better.
What's with the fake accent?
But in his mind, he's ready to start a one-man revolution.
Your voice is super fucking cringy. You're trying way too hard to be edgy and offensive. It's just sad and pathetic. Your channel should be taken down.
You see, Ralph was a homosexual.
I'm all right.
And welcome to another episode of Get to Know the Dead. Nice. That's fucking nice. And I am your host, Deadbug. And why, thank you. Thank you very much. You're too kind. And this is the Halloween edition of Getting to Know the Dead. So as always, sit back, smoke them if you got them, shut the fuck up, and enjoy. Now this past week I've been thinking about Halloween. Lamenting, if you will, of Halloweens from the past and what was my most memorable. And it was then that I remembered one that I wouldn't say was my best Halloween. I would say probably more of a tragic Halloween, a tragic Halloween memory. The ones left out of the photo albums, tinged with sadness, laced with regret. So let's bring it down a bit here. That's better. More thought-provoking, more family-friendly. Because Halloween was always a special time in the Deadbug family. We would each go in our costumes with our pillowcases, go from door to door trick-or-treating. And we loved getting the candy and were gracious for whatever we received. Except for those small boxes of raisins and those fruits, which we will fucking throw back at the windows and call out abusive threats to whomever gave them to us, especially the elderly. Sometimes fuck up their fence or smash the plants and stuff like that. Nah, but time moves on, you get a little too old to trick-or-treat and you move on to more teenage pursuits. And one year, I got invited to a Halloween party. It was Diane Crawford's big annual bash. And there was this girl who went to my school that I found out who was going, who I had a boner for. Her name was Linda Lee Appleton. And as her name suggests, she was very tasty. And there had been talk around the school hallways that she also found me appealing. Now, I guess this was the late 70s, early 80s. We're all about 12 or 13 years old. And at this age, you go to the basement parties, you make out, you lay on the couch, you slow dance. You get wasted, and then you puke in the magazine rack. And this was the perfect opportunity for me to get with this girl. You know, slow dance, lay on the couch, make out while we're listening to a little Styx, babe. Yeah, that's the one. And of course, you're not gonna fuck anybody, you're too young, but hopefully you get a bit of tit, you'll feel some bush, you get the finger banger. And then afterwards, you let all your friends smell your fingers, real romantic stuff. But there was one sticking point to this up-and-coming glorious event, a roadblock, if you will. I was grounded, and it's something I don't want to talk too much about, if you don't mind, and I ain't asking. But it was my friend Brian, I was just guilty by association, he jerked off in this girl's candy and he gave him to her as a present for Valentine's Day without her knowing that it was cum-covered candy. because he figured it would bring him closer, and then wrote about it in his fucking diary like a spastic. And his parents read it, and we both got busted months later. And you know, it was probably because I was the one who hand-delivered the candy to her front door and coaxed her to have some.
Hello?
Go on, take some, get a mouthful. Nah, don't worry. It's sticky because it's imported from France.
Oh, thank you.
Have a couple more. And then the parents were thinking we were like sex offenders, which we weren't, because I never jerked off at nobody's candy. Either way, my old man gave me a shit kicking. I had to see his school shrink, and I was grounded for over a month. But anyhows, let's not focus on the negatives, and let's pick up on this story as we're walking to school a couple days from Halloween. My best friend is Sean Moon, but everybody calls him Mooney. He lives a couple of doors down from me. We walk to school together every day. And we have this other friend, more like a mutual acquaintance, called Donnie Brown. He weren't a close friend, but nevertheless, he were a friend. We'd walk to school together. We were all metalheads, you know, Sabbath, Priest, AC/DC. Except for Donnie also liked Supertramp, which was a fag band. And Donnie, he wasn't much of a talker, a one-word sort of guy. He'd phone us up every day before school. And you'd pick up the phone, and no introductions.
Hello?
He'd just say,
walking.
And yeah, we'd say we were walking. Because we were poor, and our parents didn't give a fuck. Even if there were 8 feet of snow, we'd still walk. Because they wouldn't cough up 25 cents that the other parents would for the bus. And even if there was a life-threatening blizzard, they'd still send me to the school to check if it was closed. Because they didn't give a fuck. When me and Mooney met up with Donnie, the first thing he asked us is what we were doing on the weekend. Well, Donnie, to answer your question, I was hoping to go to Diane Crawford's Halloween party and finger Linda Appleton, but since I'm grounded. And Donnie said, oh yeah, that's right, because you jerked off in Susie Scarborough's candy. And I said it wasn't Susie Scarborough, it was Sherry Seymour. And it wasn't me who jerked off, it was Brian Brissenden. So get your facts straight. Donnie said, yeah, whatever. Why don't you just sneak out and go to the party? Drop your costume off at my place at Mooney's and pick it up later and we'll go straight to the party. Yeah, maybe. Depends on the payoff. But what do you care? You weren't even invited. Just me and Mooney. I specifically remember her saying no fags allowed. But he started begging, so I said I'd see what I could do. And as we walked, we ran into another friend. His name was Shane Coote. He was definitely more of a friend than Donnie was. And Shane was cool. We called him Coots. He kind of looked like a cross between Paul McCartney and the Wolfman, on account he had a monobrow, one big eyebrow. And Shane says, hey, listen, I want to go to the party too, because I'm in love with Diane Crawford. And my older sister just scored a big bag of weed that I can bring, which for all of us was an instant invite. Now, as we continued on our journey, we ran into another guy called Three Balls Gallant. He's called Three Balls on account he got hit by a hockey puck on his balls, and it broke one of them in two, leaving him with three balls. His real name's Billy, but no one's called him that since the accident. Anyway, Three Balls asked if he could get an invite as well. Fuck, I'm gonna be bringing all of the village people with me. Yeah, okay, I'll get you in as well, but that's it. But there's one rule. You guys gotta dress up. Diane said her brother's gonna be the doorman, and if you don't dress up, you don't get in. You know, it's funny. I was thinking that everybody we knew as a kid generally had a nickname. We knew this kid named Rob Malazzi who had polio when he was a kid and he walked funny, like a puppet, so we called him Puppet Man. Used to be boy, but he hit puberty. There was another guy called Rob Larmer, and we used to always hang out on the train tracks jumping on passing trains, and Rob jumped up and fell under and got his legs cut off. Well, at the knees, and they sewed his feet to his kneecaps, and we called him Rob the Half a Man. Even the girls had a nickname. There were Fat Linda Motis, there was Susie Scabro instead of Scarbro. I guess you could say that our childhood was a very eventful and creative time. So although the plan was in motion, I have to say I was a bit nervous and second-guessed whether I should do it or not, because my dad was a madman. And if I was grounded, that meant I was grounded, and I would get one big shit-kicking. But that day, while I was in the school cafeteria with Brian Brissenden, yeah, same guy, Linda Lee Appleton came up to me. Yeah. And she said,
hey, I heard you might be going to this party.
I said, yeah, maybe. And she said, good.
I really want you to go.
You know, when she kind of tilted her head and twisted her hair, and I thought, fuck, I don't care if my dog kills me and grounds me into the mid-1980s, because I'm going to get a slice of this. So that Friday morning, just as usual, I get up, say goodbye to my parents, and go to school. Then my old man reminds me I gotta come back right after because I'm grounded. and I'm carrying this plastic bag with my Halloween costume in it. My dad asks what's in the bag, almost like he's on to me, and I say, my gym clothes. And I'm standing there, and it's the end of October, and I'm sweating like a rapist. Then he looks at me for an extended period and turns around and walks away. So that day after school, we all go over to Shane Coote's condo. He lives on the ground floor. His parents work late, so they're not home yet. It's just him and his tasty sister, who he scores some weed off. We all smoked a joint together. Hell, I'm not gonna lie. We smoked about 3 joints together, because Shane's sister Dawn was as tasty as she was generous. So as we're all toasted and we start to change into our costumes, I brought my sister's old Halloween costume, which was kind of a Mariette costume. It had a collar and a top, which were all checkered, but I was just going to wear my jeans and my running shoes with it. Let's put it this way, my options were limited. I couldn't raise suspicions digging around for a costume with my parents around. And I thought it looked cool because my hair were long. But surprise, surprise, only Mooney and I made the effort and dressed up. Mooney dressed as his dead grandfather. He was wearing this stinky white suit and white shoes his parents had kept in a box in the basement after he died. Coots, he just wore a couple of punk rock buttons on his jean jacket and said he was a punk rocker. And Donnie showed up and he had 7 cigarettes sticking out of his mouth and he said that he was the smoking man, which isn't a fucking costume. And when 3 Balls Gallant showed up, he had a pretty good costume. He was wearing this transparent garbage bag that had all different color balloons inside and he said that he was a bag of jelly beans. Which I thought was pretty creative. A bit fruity, but creative. Now sure, my costume weren't so cool, but because I had the big David Lee Roth hair from Van Halen albums 1 and 2, I made it look cool.
Shazam.
As we all gathered in the lobby at Coot's condo, getting ready for Crawford's party, it became apparent to each other and everybody else that we were incredibly wasted. It was at this time that a guy named Billy Cheeks, who lived in the same condo, stepped out of the elevator. And I swear to God, without a word of a lie, he looked exactly like R2-D2. He had this garbage can that was hanging off his shoulders, and it was perfectly painted white, and it had all these buttons glued onto it, and he had what looked like a Sony Walkman attached to the front of it that was playing all the noises, with this metal round garbage can strapped to his head. Some hockey shin pads, and he was wearing these cheap running shoes, which I don't think R2-D2 wore. Plus, Billy Cheeks was 5'8", really fat, which I don't think R2-D2 were neither. Now a little background information on Billy Cheeks. I guess you could say that he was a village idiot. Yeah, sure, we'd all grown up together, but he went to a school for simpletons. I guess the type where they taught kids how to eat soup without a bib, where they all had bowl cuts and grew facial hair before they were 13. It was the type of guy who was always around that you would just ridicule. If you kicked a ball over a fence and there was a rabid dog there, you'd send him to fetch it. He kind of looked like an Eskimo. He had the black bowl cut, and he had real fucked up teeth that were all sticking out everywhere like dominoes. And he had a brother named Constantine Cheeks. And I think they were twins, except for Constantine didn't have the retard gene, because he went to the same school as us. And we called them the Cheek Brothers, because there were 2 of them, and when you put them together, they were one big fat ass. So anyhows, there's Billy Cheeks, standing there, right before us, dressed as R2-D2. And Mooney said what we were all thinking. There's no fucking way that you're coming to Diane Crawford's party, or this is not an exclusive event. And the one thing that Cheeks always said, maybe because he was semi-retard, he would always go, fuck off. And that's what he said. And he said no, he would go into his cousin's Halloween party and he was just going to tag along with us. And there's nothing that we could do about it because it's a free world, apparently. So here we are, we all got our outfits on, we got fat retarded R2-D2 with us, and we go to the beer store to get some beer. And because we're underage, we gotta stand outside out of the cashier's view with money, begging people to get us some beer. But we luck out early and get an old guy to get us a couple of 2-4s. So now we start walking to Diane Crawford's Halloween party, Billy Cheeks to his cousins. But to save some time, a lot of time, we have to take a shortcut through the Poor Credit River, a place that used to be a reservoir. There used to be a big dam there. And I guess this dam was from the 1950s, and it was destroyed or broke or whatever, but it was still there, and it was all overgrown with trees and bushes and shrubs, and all the kids would use it as a shortcut. And this thing was really high up, overlooking the river, I guess because it used to be a dam, and this reservoir and dam ran underneath the highway, Which is why it was such a great shortcut to get to Crawford's. It was probably the only way to get there in less than an hour. Now we're all walking in single file along this dam. It's dark. We're overlooking the Credit River. But you can't see the river because we're up at the tree line. And the river's way down below. But you can hear it. And I guess the pathway's about 6 or 7 foot wide. And then it's a straight drop down. And there's debris, there's trees sticking out of the side of the wall, and growth and stuff, but just pretty well straight down. I guess if you were a mountaineer, you could climb down, but I wouldn't want to. So it's about a 20-minute walk down this reservoir, and on the other side, it's all lined with houses, and when we get down to the end of the reservoir, we climb the fence, cut through Pam Smith's backyard, and then we're at Diane Crawford's house. So as we're walking along the top of this dam, we're just shooting the shit. I'm telling everybody how I'm going to get with Linda Lee Appleton and how I put British Sterling on my balls and how it stunk. But it'll be worth it when she puts her face between my legs. And Coot's telling everybody how he's going to get with Diane Crawford. And Mooney's bragging how he's going to puke in her brother's boots. So anyhow, as we're walking, indulging in this teenage boasting, all Cheeks keeps saying is, "Fuck off! Fuck off!" Which is what he usually says. You'd think for a retard he would have a more positive outlook on life. Because when you see him portrayed in movies and TV series, they generally have a happy outlook in life, but not Billy Cheeks. So me and Mooney and Brown, we start having this real serious conversation about if someone had invented pussy-flavored chewing gum, would anybody buy it? Which, of course, we all agreed that we would. With Billy Gallant saying he only would if it was sugar-free. And Coot saying he wouldn't because he has braces. And then, of course, while we're having this serious conversation, Cheeks joins in. You know, his whole, "Oh, fuck off, in your dreams." And it was almost like an involuntary reflex that Mooney, Donnie, and myself turned around and we pushed him all at the exact same time. And I swear to the gods, we didn't push him hard. But I guess because he were wearing this garbage can and because it were late at night and he were maybe standing a little close to the edge, he fell off. He fell off the fucking reservoir. And I can still see it now. He just went over the edge with his fat legs sticking in the air. And he fell like a big, fat rock. And it wasn't even a tumble. He just stepped off it and sailed into the abyss without speaking a word. Like he was resigned to his fate. And you just heard this trash can bang on the side. Then absolute silence. Nothingness. Well, there were the crickets, the river, and us laughing, but besides that, silence. With the knowledge that that raging river flows out into Lake Ontario, and for all intents and purposes, Cheek Islamo was no more. And maybe because we're kids or whatever, and the shock is set in, our first instinct was to laugh. I mean, we were all on the fucking ground laughing. And we couldn't help it. Maybe it was because we didn't give a fuck about him. Or maybe it was because we were in shock, but we were in hysterics. And we were laughing. We just thought, we've just killed R2-D2. And of course, we were calling out because we wanted it to sound impressive in case there were any witnesses. But nothing. The big man was gone. I remember Donnie. He was white as a ghost. And he just looked at me, and he said, "We just killed R2-D2. And everybody started laughing, but in the back of our heads, we knew that there might be a manslaughter charge here. So we put together a plan and said that our good friend had tripped and fallen off the dam. And now, it's pitch black, except for Shane Coot's lighter. We got nothing, there's no street lights. We're in total darkness, and we're high. And we see this gateway along the back path leading into someone's backyard. So we go into this guy's backyard, and we knock on his door. And the old guy, he said, "Oh my God," he goes, "that's not good, he's probably dead." And we said, "Well, that's what we were thinking, but what are we gonna do? You know, we gotta call the cops or something." He said, "Yeah, come in." He said, "You tell the police." So we get on the phone, and of course, I get nominated to be the one. The call, we phone 911. And I had to tell him what happened. I said, "We were out there. We were walking along the ledge. My friend tripped and fell." And I had to big it up a bit and say, "My dear friend," and pretend I were tearing up. And the guy on the phone, he seemed surprised. He was like, "Wow, from the top?" We said, "Yeah, he didn't even hit the sides. Went straight down." He said, "Did you hear a splash?" We said, "No, because of the rapids. They're too loud." It wasn't long after that the cops arrived. And these cops, they were really serious. And the one guy said, "Well, chances are your friend's dead. He's probably been washed out of the lake or been caught in the overflow grid. We're gonna have to get some choppers, some boats, and a few cadaver dogs." And all of us are sitting here in this old man's living room, and we're all thinking the same thing. Fuck, are we gonna be in trouble? And I was also thinking, I'm not gonna get the fucking finger Linda Appleton tonight, that's for sure. And I'm gonna have to go home and take a shit kicking. So it sounds selfish, but it's true. I gotta face reality. So these cops are all around us, and they start asking us, what does Billy Cheeks look like? We didn't know what to say, so we said, well, he looks like R2-D2. And this cop, with a notebook and a pencil, he looked like he wanted to rip our throats out. How do you mean he looks like R2-D2? And he said, well, you know, he's like R2-D2 in the movie Star Wars. And he said, I know what R2-D2 looks like, but I need details like eye color, hair color, weight, because I can't radio out that I'm looking for R2-D2. And it was then that we started explaining what he looked like. You know, he's a big fat guy with fucked up teeth, a bowl haircut, and an R2-D2 outfit. So this cop asks us, and understandably so, why are you guys walking at night along the top of a dam beside a rain-swelled river in possession of alcohol when you're underage on private property? And I explained that we were going to Diane Crawford's Halloween party. And I told him the whole thing about Linda Lee and everything, and it was a big night for me. So if we could, like, keep this short, maybe they could continue the search without me. You know, wrap it up early, because Billy Cheeks, if we're being honest, he wasn't really a good friend of any of ours. You know, even though we'd all grown up together and had known each other for years. He was semi-retarded, went to a special school, and he was just following us, tagging along, so we didn't know where he was going. And this cop looked upset that we weren't more upset, but he didn't know Cheeks, he didn't know the type of guy he was. So we just said, listen, can we go home? Because we're gonna get in trouble out here so long. And the cop said, no, you little smartasses are gonna stay behind until we drag your friend Cheeks out of the river, and you can identify his bloated corpse and save his parents the pain. And me and Mooney, our eyes met at that moment, and we had that look like, holy fuck, this is a nightmare. And sure enough, we were there for 3 hours. They had helicopters going up and down the river, boats with the big searchlights. They had all these cadaver dogs coming up and smelling a scent on us so maybe they could find Islamo's scent. And we were sitting in this park area on the other side of the river where people did picnics. And there must have been about 60 cops, the firefighters were there, ambulances. It's definitely the most attention Billy Cheeks has ever gotten in his life. That was my favorite part, where they kept saying, come in Cheeks, like they were unaware of the homosexual connotations. And it was at this point that Coots whispered to me, I hope they find this fat fuck soon, because I got a bag of weed that needs smoking, and this guy's wasting my Friday night. So it's kind of ironic that we're all underage, Shane's packing some weed, we're all drinking beer, sitting up all night, waiting for cops to find someone that we don't give a fuck about. And I remember specifically what time it was when they finally found Cheeks. Because Donnie had just complained to the officer that he'd passed his curfew, which was 12:30, and he was going to be in big shit. It was right after that that one of the cadaver dogs started barking, and an officer screamed out, over here! And, he was dead. He passed. He didn't survive the fall. And I guess, although it might seem like a cliche, God works in mysterious ways. And it was Billy Cheeks' time. Nah, I'm just messing with ya. Cheeks was alive. They pulled his fat fuck ass hanging from the side of a dam on a tree that had grown out the side of it. If it was any other of us, we would all fall into our death, but this genetic hodgepodge waste of space survived the fall, and he got caught by the suspenders on the garbage can. And his dad did a good job building that costume, because it saved his life. And I still remember, to this very day, as that helicopter is pulling him out on the stretcher, he's still wearing that R2-D2 costume, even the helmet. And as Cheeks was giving everybody the thumbs up, we were in hysterics, we were holding our guts, we were laughing so hard. I still remember, the officer looked at us and he said, you guys are disgusting human beings. And I remember as he's being lifted out on this MASH chopper, and his pants were all ripped and you could see his leg were bleeding. First thing that he said to the reporters were, these are my new jeans. My dad's gonna kill me. And me and Mooney, we just looked at each other because Cheeks had worn those jeans ever since we'd known him. What a fucking loser. So after this was in the papers, it was on TV, and Cheeks became a celebrity overnight. He was like a star. He had a girlfriend. He became known as R2-D2 Boy. And without a word of a lie, when Carrie Fisher from Star Wars, when she was still tasty, came into town promoting some made-for-TV movie, she met up with Billy Cheeks, and he was wearing the costume and everything, and there were pictures of her, and she was kissing his cheek, and he had this big shit-eating grin on his face with all his fucking crooked teeth. And I remember about 2 years later, when I was pushing carts working at a supermarket called Nob Hill Farms, I saw Cheeks. And I tried to avoid him, but he came up to me and he shook my hand and he said he wanted to thank me for pushing him off that dam. Which I personally think it's still open to debate whether I pushed him or not. I feel it might have been Mooney or Donnie Brown. Can you fucking believe that I caused him such happiness? Now I don't know whatever happened to Billy Cheeks Islamo, but I know his brother Constantine is now a real estate agent and he's pretty successful. But either way, I guess I can kind of take some pride in knowing that I played a part in their development and well-being. And for me, that stands out in my mind as my worst Hallows Eve ever. Now I hope you've enjoyed this tragic, sad story, a look into my psyche, if you will. But I guess if anything's positive, it turned out to be a happy ending. If you like this podcast and the other content that I create, think about supporting it, whether it's a one-off payment on PayPal as a thank you, or sign up to Patreon and you get so much more. Until then, this is Deadbug saying I'll see you on the other side with a pack of pussy-flavored chewing gum. Sugar-free if you're anything like Three Balls Galant.
As long as I'm alive, you know that.
You have been partaking in a dead bug podcast.